I'd invite you to take your Bible and turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Luke and chapter 2, and we'll look at one verse this evening in this passage of God's Word. May I just say, as you're turning to Luke chapter 2, it's a privilege to have the opportunity to speak just for a few moments this evening as we open the Christmas season and so many wonderful things to come. We're looking forward to that. Luke chapter 2, and I'd like to draw your attention to just one single verse and bring the message this evening from God's Word. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the message that the angels gave as the shepherds heard all of these things that would occur as the Lord Jesus Christ has come to this earth. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I'd like to speak for a few moments on the audacity of Christmas. Audacity is a willingness to take a bold risk against what seems to be overwhelming odds. And if there were ever any odds that seemed overwhelming, certainly it would be this time in human history when it seemed like all of the darkness of oppression and sin had come to be concentrated in one point in time. And at that very moment is when Jesus Christ came. Aren't you thankful Christ came to this earth? He came to be our Savior. And I'm grateful we have the account here in Luke chapter 2. May I bring your attention to a few things we notice? First of all, this verse seems to contradict reality. As we live here in the 21st century, if we were to go back 2,000 years to the very first century, the verse then and the verse now seems to contradict everything we are experiencing. The first phrase in the verse, glory to God in the highest, seems to be, in fact, the very opposite of how things are today. Think of God's name today being blasphemed and his people mocked and his word vilified. And anything that seems to have to do with the one true living God is not glorified today. It seems to be despised by this world. And yet in this very time, that's when Jesus Christ came. Notice the next phrase in the verse. And on earth, peace. If you've been paying attention, if you live anywhere than under a rock, you'll know over this last year, there has been a number of things that have happened in wars around this world. In fact, at this moment, there are at least 6 armed conflicts in which at least 10,000 people have been killed in military combat since we were here this time last year. Especially we think of Russia and the Ukraine. We could go to Myanmar. We could go to places in East Africa and the Middle East. And there are thousands and tens of thousands and in total hundreds of thousands of people that have been affected by wars. And there are, as the Word of God says, more rumors of wars. And it seems like there would be everything on earth except peace on earth. And then the next phrase seems to be contradicting reality when it says this, goodwill toward men. We think about all of the hatred in our own country, all of the divisions that we see, the differences, the victimhood, the trigger warnings, the safe spaces, all of those things that seem to divide a group of people that once seemed to be together. We used to be able to agree on at least a few things like the American flag and mom and apple pie, and now all of those things are divisive. It's an amazing place where there seems to be anything but peace on this earth and anything but goodwill toward men and anything except glory to God. This verse seems to contradict reality, but God is the author of this verse and he is the truth. And he gives us this truth to encourage us, because the second thing I'd like you to notice is that this verse is true for those who come to meet Jesus Christ. Aren't you grateful for the change that Jesus Christ makes? When he came and changes were made. If you'll notice the audience of this message, the shepherds that were abiding in their fields, looking at and watching over their flocks by night. The Bible tells us in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I'm thankful these shepherds came to meet Jesus Christ for themselves. If you've come to meet Jesus Christ for yourself tonight, would you be willing to lift your hand? And if you've come to know Jesus Christ, you'll know this. He makes what seems to be an impossibility possible. He does things no other person could do because he is the all-powerful God. He's the Savior that came to us. And I'm thankful for a risen, living Savior that changes people's lives. We would be mistaken if we were to give the message of Christmas and not include the gospel. Because the gospel is why Jesus Christ came. There are people here tonight who need the gospel. You're lost. You've heard the truth that you're a sinner. You know in your own conscience that you stand guilty and condemned before a holy God. And you've heard that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came to this earth and lived a perfect life you could never live, and went to the cross and died on the cross and shed his blood in the sinner's place. And you've not only heard that he died for the sinner, but he was buried in the tomb, and 3 days later he arose again and he is alive forevermore. And you've heard the truth of the gospel, and perhaps as you've heard it in the past, the gospel has shaken you like a lion shakes its prey, and yet you leave this place and you go on in your sin, forsaking the one that came to save you and forgive you and redeem you. And I say to you this evening, grace that is presumed is never grace that is received. Grace that is presumed is never grace that is received. If you presume upon God and say, I'll have a deathbed conversion. My friend, the problem with deathbed conversions is many never make it to a deathbed before they die. You cannot presume upon the grace of God. If you're lost here tonight, may I say this to you. There is a Savior who proved all he needs to prove that he can save you. And those who have come to know him could one by one stand this evening and testify, he made a change in my life because he's alive. He's my Savior. He's risen. Aren't you thankful for a Savior who saves? What a Savior we have. This verse is true for everyone who comes to know Christ. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The third thing I'd like you to notice this evening is that this verse is a prophecy of things to come. I'm excited to know that the great work of Christ on the cross and in the grave and rising again, he is doing a mighty work of salvation in this time, but there will come a day when all will be made right. There is coming a time when all of the wrongs will be righted and all of the things that sin has broken and ruined will be set exactly the way they were always intended. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Jesus Christ came, and he came in that first advent as a lowly baby, but he's coming again. And when he comes again, he's coming as the conquering king. And I'm going to be the one, as all who have trusted him, we will be the ones who will serve him for eternity. What an amazing thing to think about. Jesus Christ is coming back again. And he's coming back not only as a crucified Savior, he's coming back as a risen conquering king. For all eternity, we'll praise him. Jesus Christ, this little baby that came, seeming to be so insignificant that not even the innkeeper had room for him. In the end, this little child would come, and the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. That little baby became a man without ceasing to be God, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 say this, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. May I say to you, that little one that was born and placed in the manger, that little one came and he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy death itself, so that none who know him must ever fear death, because he has destroyed all of the works of the devil and death itself, and he is our risen conquering Lord. And we know him and we love him because he is the God who is able to do all things. He's able to save your lost soul this evening. He's able to uplift you this evening if you're a Christian. The 1860s was a horrible time in the history of the United States. House divided against house, brother fighting against brother, some fathers fighting against sons during the Civil War. And in 1861, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was perhaps the country's favorite poet. He was known as America's premier literary critic, and so many schools today are named after Longfellow. But in 1861, at the opening of the Civil War, as he was taking a nap in the next room, his wife and two daughters were saving some locks of their hair, and his wife was sealing them in some wax, and suddenly, due to some unknown factor, she caught on fire. That wax that was flammable got on her dress, and she caught on fire. She screamed. Her husband, who was taking a nap in the next room, came to try to help put the fire out. He tried to use a rug to put out the fire. He tried to smother her with his body, and he was severely burned all over his face and his neck and his hands. She was burned all over her body, and the next morning she passed away. He could never shave again because of the severe burns on his skin. And so if you'll ever see a photo or a picture of him, he has a long white beard that he became known for. He was in such pain, his hands were burnt so severely, his face and his neck. He wasn't able to attend his own wife's funeral. And he would sit for hours on end, silently mourning, weeping. And his six children didn't know exactly what to do. He was afraid perhaps some people would try to commit him to an insane asylum. He dealt so difficultly with his wife's passing. And in 1863, his oldest son, 19 years old, unbeknownst to the family, left the home in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and went to Washington, D.C. and joined the Union Army to fight in the Civil War. On December the 1st, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow received a telegram, and it said that his son had been shot and severely wounded in the Battle of Mine Run in Virginia. He and his younger son took the train down to meet Charlie. They discovered he had been shot in the left shoulder. The bullet had exited through his back and under his right shoulder, and that the bullet had gone into his spine. And there, as they met at the church that he was at in this hospital called New Hope Church in Orange County, Virginia, he sat by the bedside of his oldest child. The doctor said paralysis is likely to ensue. And he thought of all the hatred and all the war and all the cruelty and all that sin had done to wreck and ruin all the beauty of the human race. He took the train back home to Washington, D.C., and on December the 25th, 1863, he sat quietly in a room by himself, and he opened his Bible to Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. And he read, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And he thought, this seems to be the exact opposite of what I've seen in my lifetime. This seems to be the exact opposite of what we've experienced in our family over the last few years. Is it really true? And he asked God to show him if there was some hope in this dark world. And as he sat there on Christmas Day, asking God to speak to him, listening, he heard nothing. And then from the local church just up the street, he heard bells, and he wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song. of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. God will always have the last say, and he is expecting his people who call him their Savior to be people of hope, to be people of boldness, to have audacity in a dark world, to stand up when everyone else is seated and say, there is a Savior. He's come, and I know he's come because he's changed my life. We need hope today, and hope is found in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow in prayer with me?